Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is June 6th, 2017. Some of the topics we'd like to cover include that the Roman Catholic Church in Kansas has announced its split with the Girl Scouts. They don't want to be involved with the Girl Scouts anymore because the Girl Scouts are pro-abortion, pro-lesbianism, and so on. So we'll talk a bit about that. Then also Venezuela and the fake news networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, not reporting on the collapse, the meltdown of an entire nation. Well, now United Airlines has announced they will stop flying to Venezuela. So that will further isolate that country. Bill Cosby, hopefully he's on trial right now. Hopefully he will be convicted in his rape trial for that crime and on behalf of the dozens of other women who he sexually molested, raped, he drugged, incapacitated them, and molested them. A pothead in England moved back in with his mum, severely addicted to marijuana, and he went from standard marijuana to a more potent form of pot, and being severely addicted and paranoid, he mutilated himself and then stabbed his mother repeatedly. That's in the news. You know, here at Bob and Yart Live, we cover the pot news and the pot research. Then we have a study out comparing young adults in America who live at home with their parents rather than live with a spouse, rather than being married. And unlike it was 40 years ago, today the largest group of young adults are living at home with their parents rather than with a spouse. And the numbers are significant. Of course, there are multiple reasons for this. The number one reason is internet pornography, because there are millions of young men who no longer have the God-given drive that he gave us to marry and have an intimate relationship with a woman because they're addicted to sex on the internet. As despicable as that is, that's the reality. And that's the reality that the Republican Party, our conservative Christian leaders, even Christian groups like Focus on the Family have not only conceded and tolerated pornography, but Focus on the Family has even stated that it's a right. You have a right to produce and consume pornography. Like everything else, they just want to regulate it. Like all other criminal behavior, they just want to regulate it. Like the killing of unborn children, they oppose efforts to end, to abolish abortion. They want to regulate it, and they want to regulate homosexuality, and they want to regulate pornography, and that's because they've lost their way. So more on that. And then North Korea, with the U.S. Defense Secretary, Jim Mattis, saying that we're in the process of deploying more than half of our overseas air fighting forces to the region, over half, Air Force, Army, Navy fighters, with their support carriers, 60% of our aviation resources going to North Korea's backyard. And we'll talk about that and why America would be justified in attacking North Korea, including the reasons that have nothing to do with their nuclear weapons program and their threats to turn Japan into an ash heap and to drop nuclear weapons on Americans, and so on. Also, love to mention Bill Nye and his continued perversion, and even you've got Ben Shapiro making fun of Bill Nye for broadcasting on his current TV program. a filthy, perverse song sung on his show by some pervert musical group. And then finally, on Friday, Lord willing, our Real Science radio program will be our list of brain-dead patients who have recovered. Now, if someone's brain-dead, they're not supposed to be able to recover, right? And we'll include with that some of the very latest news updates on the topic. So it should be an interesting program on Friday, Real Science Radio. So back to the Kansas Archbishop, who announced that his archdiocese is splitting from the Girl Scouts. This, of course, is very good news. It's welcome. It's 20 years late. It's 20 years late. On Bob and Yurt Live, we have been urging this on the air for, what, 22 years now? I think it goes back that far. So I wonder what prompted this at this time. I'd love to know. The Girl Scouts have long been pro-child killing, pro-Planned Parenthood, pro-abortion, and they are pro-lesbian, and they've been that way for ages. In fact, the Heritage Girls started up, American Heritage Girls, decades ago because of this very concern. So I wonder what's now caught the attention of the Kansas Roman Catholic Archdiocese. Their Archbishop Joseph Naumann, I mean, what else could the Girl Scouts have said? What, maybe they said that lesbians are better than homos? I mean, what could they have said? What? And who am I to judge anyway? So I'd really like to know what happened, but I don't know. So Archbishop Naumann has said that their parishes should work instead with the American Heritage Girls. And so that's awesome. There have been, as I reported on this group many years ago, tens of thousands of families. It's probably over 100,000 or maybe approaching hundreds of thousands of families who have realized that the Girl Scouts are a liberal left-wing organization that promotes child killing, abortion, and rejects biblical family values. And so those families have switched over to the American Heritage Girls. So that's great. Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. So one of the meanings of that, now the primary interpretation of that is the Lord is speaking of the old covenant and the new covenant. And so his blood is the new covenant, the sacrifice that he made for us. And that doesn't fit within the symbolism of the old covenant. The old covenant had things like symbols with the ceremonial cleansing of the sprinkling of water and the sacrificing of animals. But all that pointed to Jesus Christ and him sacrificing his life for us so that whoever trusts in him could be forgiven of their sins and would have everlasting life. So you can't put new wine in the old wineskins because they'll burst. And wine goes through a fermentation process, not unlike bread rising, where in the fermentation process, it produces gas. If you ever go in the back of a bakery, it could almost make you sick if you're not used to it. But it produces gas, and if you're using an old wineskin, then as that pressure increases, it might burst the old wineskin. So hence the analogy and helping people to think about, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. So Jesus had something new, the gospel, in all its living force. He himself, he is the gospel. And knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, is eternal life. And so everything in the Old Testament pointed to him. But there's another application of this, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. The gospel is always new, but the world gets old, and the culture gets old. So when you start an organization, it doesn't matter what kind of Christian organization it is. It could be a denomination. It could be a publishing house. Maybe you publish Christian music. It could be a Christian hospital. Dozens of different kinds of organizations that become institutions. And in order to function in the world, we function by interacting with the culture. And as we do, we adopt part of the culture. It might be something as simple as an artistic style or a musical approach or a certain type of Robert's Rules of Order and a board of directors and all of our procedures. And whatever it is that we adopt in order for our organization to interface with the culture, with the world, those adaptations, they're not the gospel. They're what we use so that we can build an infrastructure to share the gospel. So that infrastructure you build around your organization, that gets old. But the gospel never gets old. So before you know it, you have a Christian publishing group that really is compromising on the gospel and even on fundamental biblical morality, right and wrong. They compromise. And so you can't put new wine in old wineskins. The expectation is that when you plant a church or start a ministry, if it exists into perpetuity, it's going to become worldly and it will become an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the norm. And so at Denver Bible Church, the church I pastor, we have a church constitution, and it calls for our church to disband after three generations of leadership. Three generations. So we're currently in our first generation of leadership. The church across town that planted Denver Bible Church, that church planted us with an elder board and a handful of families, and we have been so thankful to them and to God for the incredible opportunity we've had, and partly because of our recorded Bible studies and sermons, people get them all over the country and even around the world. And so we've been able to reach out to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, if you counted every time we've been able to speak publicly about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, millions, because of going on ABC and Fox News and so many other news outlets, doing Bible studies on Court TV, True TV, about what the Bible says about the death penalty and so on. So tremendous opportunities, and we're thrilled. But we realize that for us to try to make Denver Bible Church a perpetual ministry would mean that eventually, if it goes like all of the rest of history and the history of the church, eventually Denver Bible Church would side with the world against God, eventually. And so it is true that you have vibrant, living congregations in old churches, but typically what's happened is that you have some kind of a denominational church, a local church. They build a church building. They meet there for some decades. They bring people to the Lord. They preach the gospel. Then they stop preaching the gospel. Then they begin to accept the immorality of the culture, and then it's a dead church, and it's usually dead for decades or sometimes even centuries. And then somehow an actual Christian ends up occupying the same building and a brand new ministry grows up in that church. So it's really a new church that happens to be at the same venue, but the original church is dead. So we see that with so many Christian organizations that started Christian and now are basically secular or antithetical to the gospel. And that's true, of course, of Christian colleges that are secular, like Harvard and Princeton and Yale, started by Christians to equip men to preach the gospel, and now they're bastions of antichrist ideology. And it happens with Christian hospitals that now do abortions, even Catholic hospitals that do abortions and Christian hospitals that then do sex change operations, and they promote homosexuality and so on, and Christian publishers that publish this, you know, Jesus is my boyfriend kind of music, where you cannot tell at all that it's about God unless somebody told you it was about God. You know, I wake up in the morning and there he is beside me, kind of Jesus is my boyfriend music, which is disgusting. But publishers, they care more about crossover. They don't mean crossing over to heaven. They mean crossing over to pop music. And so that's what motivates many publishers. So at any rate, the American Heritage Girls, I'd say, you know, right now, and I don't know much about this organization, but like so many organizations, praise God that they responded to this horror of the Girl Scouts. And while they are an organization that stands for fundamental right and wrong, and they're an option to look into for your kids. Okay, wanted to get to Venezuela and the fake news out of ABC, NBC, and CBS, pretending that we do not have a major nation in our hemisphere that is melting down, descending into despair, ruin, and starvation. 32 million people there. You know how many kids that means? Men, women, and children. And it is imploding. And so now United Airlines has announced they will stop flying to Venezuela. It was only, what, 2 months ago that they changed their route. They included Aruba in their Venezuela route so that their crews would not have to overnight in Caracas there in Venezuela because it's too dangerous. So they would sort of a touch and go. They'd land in Venezuela and unload, reload, and then get out of there and go to Aruba where their crew would spend the night and switch crews. So that happened back, I think, in April. But now United has said, you know, forget it. We're just pulling out. We're not going to fly to Venezuela any longer. American Airlines stopped back in December flying there. And the reason they gave was that, you know, people in Venezuela, when they buy airline tickets, they use their bolivar, their currency. And so there was an agreement with the government that the government would convert all those bolivars to U.S. currency. Well, according to American Airlines, the government is about $600 million in arrears not paying. Why pay American when United's flying there? I mean, that's the way a socialist government would think. And so now United is bailing out. I think they said June, it might be their last month, or real soon, they're ending their flights to Venezuela. So that nation is imploding, and we called for a military humanitarian intervention into Venezuela. That was back on September 14th to save a million people, men, women, and children, from starving to death. So that is another reason to intervene in a nation when the government is systematically destroying its own people. So to move over then to Bill Cosby, you know, Bill Cosby is guilty of rape, of the sexual molestation, the drugging and incapacitating and sexually molesting of dozens of women, dozens, scores of women whom he has raped. Now, either he's guilty, or there is this incredible new psychological syndrome whereby when you have a beloved celebrity whom the whole world admires and one woman comes out and says that he raped me, then dozens of women who he worked with come out and say the exact same thing. Now, that'd be quite a psychological syndrome. I mean, you have somebody like Bill Clinton, who everyone has always known is a pervert, and some woman has the courage to say what he did to her, and then you have a handful of other women saying, he did the same to me, or he did worse to me. And that's Bill Clinton. You don't have 40-some women coming out, and this is the case of a beloved celebrity that everyone, conservative or liberal, Republican, Democrat, atheist, Christian, everybody loved him, everyone. And you have scores of women coming forward and saying, he drugged me, he raped me. So he's guilty. The Bible says that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. And of course you weigh that testimony against other evidence. Of course you do. And do people lie? Of course they lie. Of course, at Jesus' trial, they had people who were bringing false testimony against Jesus. And they couldn't even get their own story straight. It's recorded in the New Testament. But of course people lie. Of course. But as a general rule, by the testimony of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. And that does not mean eyewitnesses alone. That includes physical evidence and circumstantial evidence. Because in the Bible, testimony is not only the testimony of an eyewitness. So I'm hoping to get through all of our topics. The next is this pothead in England who moved back in with his mother. He was, by all accounts, bright, active, involved in sports, neat kid, starts smoking pot. After a while, the normal pot wasn't enough. He started using skunk, what they call it there in England, a more potent form of marijuana. And he becomes severely addicted. He's paranoid. He's delusional. One of the minor things is he thought that mermaids were real. That's just minor. But he ended up as a paranoid young adult. He thought there were people spying on him in his home, people living in his home who were out to get him. He'd go to bed with a knife. So one night, in the middle of the night, he mutilated himself in a horrific way, where now the doctors say he may never be able to have children. And he stabbed his mother repeatedly. Thankfully, she survived. And you have potheads who say, marijuana never hurt anyone. So at our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, gov like government, short for government, G-O-V, KGOV, the K as though it's a radio station, call letters, KGOV, like KOA or KABC. Well, this is KGOV. KGOV.com/pot. You'll see the pot news and you'll see all the peer-reviewed science showing the horror of marijuana use that is, for the most part, covered up by our culture. Here in Colorado, you have Dan Kaplis over on a competing radio station who shares with his audience the horror of marijuana and how much it's hurt the state of Colorado. And we cover that also, including in our website, kgov.com/pot. And the need for our state and Washington, the need to recriminalize marijuana, because it's not the abuse of marijuana that gets you high. It's the use of marijuana that gets you high. With alcohol, it's the abuse of alcohol that gets you drunk. If you abuse alcohol, you get drunk. With marijuana, if you use marijuana, you get high. It's the normal use of marijuana that gets you high. So you have every night in America, tens of millions of people at dinner have a glass of wine or a beer and do not get drunk. You do not have in America millions of people smoking pot to not get high. So marijuana is one of those substances that the normal use of which, like heroin, like crack cocaine, fill in the blank, the normal use of which gets you high. And that is something that society doesn't have to tolerate people who lose control of their faculties, become a danger to themselves and therefore to others, to first responders, and so on. And that's why marijuana should be recriminalized here in Colorado. And this loser of a kid, who's now an adult, this loser has ruined his own body and attacked his mother, stabbed his mother repeatedly. Thankfully, she has survived. Okay. So then we get to the majority of young Americans, ages 18 to 34, a standard category, and the difference compared to 40 years ago. In the mid-1970s, young American adults in that age bracket, 18 to 34, were far more likely to be married and living with a spouse than living in their parents' home. But today, it turns out that we have 23 million young American adults living at home with mommy or with daddy. 23 million. Now, is it wrong for a young person to live at home with their parents? No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. But there is a war against marriage, and there's a war against morality, which pornography is a part of that. And pornography is as addicting as any of these other drugs. And so young men get addicted to pornography on the internet, and they lose the motivation to go out and court a young woman and all the effort that that takes, which it should take effort. She should see that you care about her and are willing to commit your life to her and take care of her. She should see all that. It should take effort. But it's easier just to go home and turn on the computer. And so that's what millions of young men are doing. And with young men being addicted to pornography, young women turn to lesbianism or one-night stands. And so the family is crumbling in our country, as we've said for all these years, 26 years on the air, that it would. And pornography is not the only reason. You also have homosexuality and open cohabitation. And so marriage no longer means anything. So like in Northern Europe, where marriage has been decimated, and people don't get married because marriage doesn't mean anything. And homosexuals are getting married just so they could raise their fist against God. That's the number one reason that homosexuals go through the bother of getting married. But with all that, with all the insanity, you have millions of Americans thinking it's not worth it to them. And so they don't do it. All right, we're about out of time. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll talk about North Korea. But with that nation enslaving 25 million of its own people, that alone is justification to attack North Korea, to free those people. It's as though there were a prison camp of 25 million people, and you went in to liberate that camp. That's justified. And then all the threat that North Korea says they're going to drop nuclear weapons on Japanese people, on South Koreans, on Americans, that just adds to the justification. May God bless you.